7th Sunday at 10 a.m. on the Pacific Coast.
downtown, Chinatown.
Yeah, broadcasting live from Chinatown, Los Angeles. Good morning, everyone. This is Nature Boy.
What frequency? Science
on 16:30 a.m. Yes, or online at kchungradio.org/stream. I don't have my headphones in right now, so I can't really tell. I think
the needles are not going up.
They are not going up. There they are. Okay. You can hear me, though, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay,
sure.
Good. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
This is Nature Boy, science podcast on Kchung Radio. And my name is Michael, and I'm here with... Introduce yourselves.
Do not talk to us like that, Michael, okay?
This is Jess.
Marshall.
John.
Wow, that was really...
And we'll be talking about Aunt Mary today.
Oh, this is a rough introduction. We're all PhD students.
We are all plant scientists, plant biologists at the University of California, Riverside. And today's topic is especially fun, I think, because talking about...
This is so rough because we're celebrating.
I'm not.
I did my research. I don't know about you guys.
I'm having caffeine.
So it's after January 1st, 2018 in California, which is where we are.
As opposed to the rest of the country where it's not.
Colorado, Washington, it's a little bit of a different story, right? So what's going on here that makes...
Oh, you're referencing legislation. It's trying to do a segue. That's pretty good, Marshall.
Thank you.
So we're going to get into some science headlines. I think the big one is that... that's relevant for our show is that marijuana has been legalized in California for recreational use. It's been legal here for medicinal use for quite some time, for a few years now. But now it is recreational, meaning that anyone can buy it if you're an adult. And
21 and over.
Oh, is it 21 and over?
21 and
not
over.
Not 18? Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
That's the new smoking. That's the new tobacco smoking age.
Yeah, in California, everything's 21, right?
You can't smoke cigarettes.
No, they gotta be 21.
Yeah, that's a new law too. I think that happened like 1 or 2 years ago. We have to be 21.
Can't do anything fun anymore.
I know.
What's the point of turning 18 now?
Nothing.
Porn.
Oh. You can go to war.
And you can have sex.
Both.
Yeah, with older people.
Both.
I guess you can consent to sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you still can't, like, smoke it out on the street. There's basically what is open container laws for marijuana. So if you get caught smoking weed, you could face a fine of, like, $100 to $250. But is that really going to be enforced? I don't know. There will be, like...
Not in the places where we go.
Yeah. So there's actually only, like, a limited number of licenses that have been approved for recreational sales. So I think there's something like 40 to 50, somewhere in that range.
But and I was reading they're giving priority to to medical dispensaries. So if you're applying to become a pot place.
A pot place?
I don't know. a dispensary, like if you're already a medical one, then you get priority for the business license.
Okay, so I know that Los Angeles County in particular, they were late on something. So there's none that are approved for recreational sales in Los Angeles County as of right now. Yeah. Most of them are in Palm Springs and San Diego, I think, and then there's like a few in the Bay Area as well. But there, yeah, there's so it's gonna happen slowly. More of these places will start opening up as the law.
Also in California, there's a kind of an epidemic happening right now, right?
Which
of the flu? Did
yes,
you not
so
get that email?
And other science
crazy.
News. Yes.
Yeah.
yeah, we got an email from. Did you get an email from UC Riverside? Yeah. So the flu, at least in Riverside County, has reached epidemic levels. Sorry.
I'm so startled.
Yeah, so they basically how flu shots are made is that they are the best predictions of what strains will be
next year.
Yeah.
And they fucked up.
Yeah.
They fucked up this year.
Yeah.
Well, and it's happening a lot earlier than it typically would in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So Science Mag has a really interesting article about how to tell if somebody is actually really sick or not.
You look at their aura.
I mean, I got
you touch them. You touch them with a crucifix.
Right? You can see
them.
Did any of you get the flu shot this year?
I tried, and then Rite Aid was like, "Your insurance doesn't cover it." I was like,
"What?
That's cool." Yeah, yeah, we have to go to the student health clinic, you know, with their great hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
that's where I got it.
And if you go the same day that you want it, then you have to pay $15 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I was growing up, they always told us that. You shouldn't get a flu shot if you're, you know, around our age because they have limited supplies and they need them for older people.
Government mind control.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll give you autism.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So many people probably think that's true.
That's true. I did get a flu shot this year, but I mean, as you can tell, I still sound sick now, so it didn't work.
So
very well.
What would you say if you were looking at a sick person?
Uh-huh.
What would you say is like a tell that they're really sick or if they're just a
coughing.
Pansy? Coughing?
You do look a little dewy.
Okay.
Sick? Yeah. Why is he so close to you?
It's okay. We share a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marshall is coated in sweat. He's dripping. His nose is running. He's drooling.
I took a ibuprofen, so no. Technically, I do not.
Oh my god. Can I sit by you guys?
So the biggest tell, though, is bags under the eyes or a more white complexion. So
that's why you
look
so
like
rough.
That every day.
you just look permanently sick. See, this is why it's not a problem.
Oh, I do look sick all the time.
So for the flu, sometimes you take medicine.
Yes.
Like
but it's a virus.
Can we just get back to the topic of the show?
Like marijuana?
We just want to talk about weed all hour long.
Yeah.
Hey, I just think that our rampant fans will get upset if we don't actually talk about the topic.
Well, yeah, okay, so also related to this legalization in California is the fact that on Friday, I think, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, announced he is rescinding a Obama-era policy that basically federal authorities, if states had legalized recreational cannabis, like federal agencies basically stood away from the state unless, you know, there was crossing the border into other states.
So basically,
they wouldn't interfere.
Just turn back everything Obama ever did.
So, yeah, he rescinded that policy. So now federal authorities do have, I guess, the, I don't know what to call it. The
authority?
I mean,
well,
they had the authority, but
yeah.
Like now they have the impetus or like, you know.
The resources, right? Like
to,
basically
yeah.
They weren't putting resources into.
Oh, yeah.
So now people, I think, are kind of confused about what's going to happen now. And, like, are, like, federal agencies going to raid, like, California pot farms or, you know, they could, I guess.
They don't have enough resources. They still do that currently right now, even under, like, the current legal regime. So, and businesses, it's kind of what they prepare for is that they will at some point probably be shut down by the government and have to start all over again. So... this is kind of why the price of pot is the way it is, too.
Yes.
It's so expensive.
Oh, yeah, I was reading about this, like, the newly recreational stuff, and it's basically going to have taxes of about 30%.
Oh, I thought it was, I saw up to 45%.
I mean, yeah, it depends on, I think, whatever city it's in, because they can add on, like, their own taxes, but...
That's the way it is with tobacco, so
yeah,
it's not surprising.
Like, tobacco is very taxed, and I think alcohol is, too, in some states, so... I think it's good. I mean, it gives money to schools and stuff, but yeah, it's going to be more expensive than what has been the norm, I think.
But if you participate in the medical program, you don't have to pay
that. Right, then you don't pay those extra taxes.
That's actually something that the Los Angeles Times was talking about, is that we've had so many laws and rules in place for medical use that actually... the recreational use is kind of confusing how or streamlining the new laws. So,
right.
Yeah. Because you'll be taxed if you do it for this, but not if you do it for that, if you get a doctor's prescription.
It's still going to be, like, employers can decide if they allow it or not. So a lot of things are, like, going to basically be the same. It's just going to be, I don't know, somewhat decriminalized, but not really, like,
You're not going to see people go to jail for 20 years for carrying, like, an ounce of pot. Right?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting seeing because there's only a limited number of licenses for recreational marijuana, like you said.
Yeah, that's right.
But there are all these dispensaries around California. I mean, they populate certain cities, like, more than gas stations. Mm-hmm. And those are only licensed for medical use, right?
Right.
So we're still going to have all these additional clubs that are only selling to people who have a prescription. And there's going to be other ones that are opening with recreational. It's just a weird
shift.
But
technically now, if somebody has it for medical use, they can share it with their friends, and it's not criminalized.
Oh.
And it's cheaper, I guess. It's a little cheaper. You don't have to pay the extra taxes.
Well, I mean, are you technically allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Like when you get prescribed Vicodin. You just go and share it with your friends, right? Well,
I mean, if you have weed or pot on you, like... nobody's going to be able to tell where it comes from, I guess. Like, you know, if anybody were to ask, like...
Yeah, I don't know, try telling the cop that. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, that's an interesting point to bring up, because I'd never thought of that. Because, yeah, like, if you get Vicodin, you should not be sharing with your friends.
No, you should not be.
But is it illegal to share it with your friends?
Yes,
it is.
This
is, like, a whole other topic.
It is illegal, yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot share prescription drugs. Prescription medication.
Okay, so don't go to a dispensary.
Legally, you cannot do that. Yeah. Also, new with this law is that they're going to start testing all recreational cannabis for, like, the content of it. So it's going to be, like, standardized.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So every and they have, like, 6 months to comply with this for old stock. So, like, as of the summer, like, all the weed that people buy will have, like, a label that tells you, like, the chemical breakdown of
it.
Like,
weed light? This is like
well, it'll tell you, like, the THC content and, like, the other active ingredients, like, the content of those.
Won't fuck you up. Will fuck you up.
Yeah. Yes, and so that'll be required for all new, you know, harvests going forward.
Okay.
For weed.
What are some of the names you know weed by?
Blueberry cheesecake.
Marshall, do you mean slang terms or
strain
names?
Slang, not strain.
Michael's exposing himself as very familiar with marijuana.
Sorry, what were you
slang,
asking?
Just slang, not genetic.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you're genetic strain.
Blueberry cheesecake.
I've never had that one.
I don't know if that's real. I just
yeah, you just made that one up. That's a great job, man. You should work for the dispensaries.
What do you got? Give me like five.
Mary Jane. Kish. I'm drawing. Kish. Chronic, I guess.
Uh-huh. What else?
The Devil's Lettuce.
Oh, that's
interesting. Keith.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yerba, or is it Herba?
Yeah. Yerba?
I've never heard that one. If you use that, people would think you're a cop.
Kiff. Can I have a
one kiff, please?
Gangster ganja?
Gangster ganja? Is that what that says?
Reefer. Reefer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't...
Reefer,
boom?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of boom?
Boom?
Yeah. Can I get some boom?
No.
No.
BC Bud?
What?
This is nonsense.
Yeah, I don't think bald bud, like just bud in general, is a term.
Oh, I see one on there.
Yeah.
Wait.
What you got?
Never mind. No. Aunt Mary.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you said when we started,
it's
wasn't
weird,
it?
It's yeah. Weird.
Indo?
I like this whole street slang list that you have.
Right?
BC bud, blunt.
Do you see the source?
Pot reefer. Yeah. The source is the USDA.
So, you know, keeping it legit.
Up.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I think we are going to take a quick break from our news section and then go into the introduction of our main
topic. You're not going to play what I think you are you?
Oh, I'm going to play exactly what you think I'm going to play.
Oh, how fun.
Once again, I'm sorry.
Hey, let me say one thing really quick then.
Yeah.
The first recorded method of smoking marijuana is to build a fire, let the coals settle down, put rocks over those coals, and then to throw the marijuana on it, then put a tent over it, small enough to put your head in.
Like a little hot box.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it also sounds like a hookah.
What?
Like
hookah.
Well, you're in a...
That's how you do hookah with coals, right?
Marshall! you are right about that,
Thank
though.
You.
That's
Marshall
a good one.
He does all the drugs. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. This
Bye.
Is Nature Boy.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Welcome back. This is Nature Boy on KTN Radio, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California, in Chinatown, on 1630 AM and online at ktnradio.org/stream.
Wow, we should replace that intro with the one that we
Thank
did
you.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Your voice sounds like chocolate right now.
Thank you. Maybe it's what I did during the break. So,
practice
your topic on today's Yes. The topic on today's episode of Nature Boy is, of course, marijuana. It is a colloquial name for...
Whoa, look at all these words coming out of your mouth.
Cannabis. So the plant that we're talking about is Cannabis sativa.
That's the one that's most common, right?
Well, it's actually... Okay, since you're going to ask.
Let's go there.
Cannabis sativa. So in the genus, there's actually three different species. There's Cannabis sativa, Cannabis indica, and Cannabis ruderalis. It's arguable, though, whether they are actually separate species. So,
where did they originate?
People, it originates from Southeast Asia / India.
Tibetan Himalayan region?
I don't know. I don't know, like, specifically where. Like, it's hard to, when they're doing these centers of origin for plant species, it's kind of hard to pinpoint, like, exactly where, but they have, you know, they can get, like, general areas of where they think it's.
You know what's crazy is how big it gets in the wild.
Yes, there's actually very, yeah, there's trees, basically. They can easily reach, like, 10, 15 feet.
Yeah.
The sativa varieties, indica varieties are shorter, and the ruderalis species are very short. They're, like, basically wild land races. Anyway, there's debate others to whether they're actually three different species or three subspecies of the same species.
But you should all listen back to... our episode where we talked about species identification and classification, and then you'll know that that's all kind of a null debate in the end.
Yeah, so, I mean, they can all hybridize with each other, so they're not, like, entirely
And flowers
separate.
Have gender?
Yes, they are dioecious plants. So in botany, the plants can be either monoecious or dioecious, so it comes from the Greek term meaning
one house
or two houses. Cannabis plants have two houses, a male and a female, so they are dioecious. So they have both male and female plants, meaning that one plant will have the pollen, which is the male, and the other plant will have the flower.
So I read this, but maybe it's not true. Some plants can have both.
Yes, and there's mutants for everything. So yeah, sometimes they have both.
And there's a way of, like, making a plant a very specific gender just by, like,
there are theories, I think. I don't know if it's actually, I've read a little bit about this, but sometimes they use, like, colloidal silver. They treat seeds with colloidal silver, and that's supposed to feminize them. I don't know if that's actually scientifically accurate, if it actually does that, but.
Alligators and crocodiles, right, their gender is based on temperature, not on genetics. So, so I could see that happening with marijuana.
And sometimes, what is it called when female plants just, like, make their own seeds?
Parthenocarpy.
Parthenocarpy. That exists within cannabis species as well, as sometimes females will make their own seeds without getting pollinated. That's a little bit of a botanical introduction.
You know what the
cannabis?
The parthenocarpic plant that we all encounter the most would be?
No.
It would be dandelions. They don't require fertilization. That's why they shoot out so many little floaties.
Oh, I did not know that.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Also a fun fact. Those little floaties are the fruit of dandelions, not a flower.
It's a dry fruit. Right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did I say it right?
Akeen?
Akeen,
yeah.
Akeen. So what is THC and why is it important?
Okay, so let's get more into... So it originated in... around the Indian region, Southeast Asia, there's records as far as 3,000 years BC of people using it, and it started out as a fiber crop, basically. So it was used for hemp, which is a material that's, you know, that's similar to cotton or something.
You can make itchy clothes.
The best itchy clothes.
And they're expensive, so it's fun.
Yeah, and then it got, obviously, people started using it for its...
Then they started eating it, and they're like, wait, what?
So it is a psychoactive drug, and it is the most popular, it is basically the number one drug in the world. I guess if you don't count alcohol or cigarettes, yeah. I mean, the number one illegal drug in the world.
Well, caffeine, right, is also. I think caffeine is illegal.
Yeah. We looked this up for our drug episode, and...
It was caffeine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I forgot.
Oh, yeah. It sounds familiar.
So an estimated... 128 and 232 million, somewhere in that range, which is a giant range. It's like 100 million
of users.
Yeah,
100 million. That seems low.
Up to 232 million users around the world.
There are like 7 billion people in the world.
That's like half the population of the United
States.
There
are also countries where you can get life in prison for possession of marijuana.
So,
and there are babies. Touché. There are.
I see your point, and I can see.
So, as of 2016, 51% of adults in the U.S. had reported using marijuana at least once. So,
so there's 100 million users right there.
Okay, but are you a user if you've used it once?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's how they define it.
No.
Well, I think the point is that compare that to the rates of people who've like tried heroin. You know what I mean? And you'll
You're
see that
trier.
Marijuana is a much more common. It's just more accepted in society.
Sure.
Yes.
Even if legislation hasn't kept up with it.
Yeah, like if you meet someone, they're like, "Oh, I smoke pot." You're like, "Oh, I'm comfortable with that." They're like, "Oh, I do heroin."
Yeah.
You're like, "Ooh."
We are on two different ways. Yeah.
So, Marshall, you asked about THC, didn't you?
Yes.
Fun.
Go on.
So, THC, right? It's like a lipid-soluble compound, okay? Produced by the cannabis plant.
And that's why your body holds onto it forever? Well, not forever.
That's
yes.
why it dissolves into
like
your fat.
Time.
So,
yeah.
it's fat-soluble instead of water-soluble. So, yeah, it stays in
so
our
people
are bodies.
From what I've been reading, because, you know, whatever. So I've heard that people are like, oh, well, like, our brains have cannabinoid receptors. Like, what are they there for if it's not to, like, smoke weed all
God
the time?
That means God made weed for us. I've heard that exact sentence come out of people's mouths.
Exactly. So can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, girl.
Oh my God,
well,
my God.
I got something for you, Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of plants produce molecules that mimic natural neurotransmitters in the brain. And these are usually for defense or to encourage animals to feed on the plant. Because our same neuroreceptors and our same hormones are in most mammals, mm-hmm. right? So it makes a lot of sense. Now, what's kind of tricky to think about is what's the incentive for the plant to produce a compound that will make the consuming animal hungry? That's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, well, to eat more and then, like, poop out all the seeds.
There you go. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But... So there's a neurotransmitter called anandamide?
Cannabidiol-anandamide.
Sure. Anandamide. Cool.
Anandamide.
Right? That's a hard one.
Yeah.
So that's the neurotransmitter that THC actually mimics.
There's
in
also
the brain.
These other ones called like CB1 and CB2, something like that. I think they're like cannabidiol receptor 1 and 2 in the brains, but...
So they're called cannabinoid receptors, right? And so I guess the point I'm trying to make is that the reason they're called cannabinoid receptors is because that's how they were first discovered
right.
and then defined and not the other way around.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that THC defines this receptor.
It just binds to it.
That's
so.
Right.
It doesn't indicate a co-evolution between
that's
us
correct.
And marijuana. Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of where I wanted to go with that, because I've heard that so many times. People are like, we've got the cannabinoid receptor, man. Right? And because it mimics this neurotransmitter, this is why you can have, like, motor function issues and short-term memory loss.
Hmm.
So I guess going off of that, it has supposed to have at least 65 active compounds in cannabis, but I mean, you know, I don't know how.
USDA says 109, and it's just as dangerous as tobacco inhalation.
Mm. It does have, it definitely does have tar in the smoke. I mean, smoking anything is not good for you.
It's bad to inhale smoke.
Yeah. So there's a lot of compounds in cannabis. I mean, obviously the main one is THC. It stands for tetrahydrocannabinol. And there's different forms of it as well. So I think there's like...
So you like smoke it or you can eat it. Is there like a safer way? Like why?
You can vaporize it, smoke it, eat it. I guess you could probably inject it. I don't know.
dang, don't
do that. This is not an endorsement of anything.
Now the safest method, I mean, for your health is to vaporize it because vapor doesn't contain all those heavier compounds.
You don't think that eating it is the best?
Oh!
Yeah.
There's a lab on our campus that would say the e-cigarette stuff is definitely harmful.
oh, well, hey, great, good on them for, you know, profiting and getting a lot of grant money for picking up a news fucking point. I don't know. Hot topic.
Very passionate.
Yeah.
So THC is the main compound in cannabis that has the psychoactive effects.
So
but
you want more or less?
I mean, I don't know if you want more or less. recently, though, like, people are discovering the importance of this other compound called cannabidiol, which is CBD. And actually the ratio between THC and CBD has big effects, like, on the, you know, like, the activity, the psychoactive activity.
So, like, the plant goes through, like, a biosynthetic pathway to produce THC, and cannabidiol is the step before THC.
Okay.
So
it's usually found in much lower quantities.
Okay.
Lot lower quantities. Maybe I think for marijuana flower buds, their THC content, it's like, you know, breeders are constantly increasing it, but it can range from like 10% to like 30% of the dry weight.
It's not like the pure concentration of THC, right? It's like the ratio of the different.
That's
compounds.
Right. So if it's a higher ratio of just THC, it's more of the sort of psychotic, neurotic, like, side effects that happen. So if there's more CBD, if the ratio of CBD is higher, then it has less of
more like mellow
more
and chill.
Mellow, yeah, exactly.
It's a body high.
So it was used for a long time as a fiber, and then obviously people started using it as a drug, and then it started getting outlawed in the 19th century, and I think a lot of it was because basically the Brits that owned slaves in India didn't want their slaves to to be smoking it, basically. I guess because maybe they were less productive or something. But that's kind of why it started being outlawed, and then it spread from
1930s
there.
In the United States, right? It was a Schedule One.
That's correct. Yes. Around the same time, I think a little bit after, though, it was like decriminalized in Europe. So that's why. Places like Amsterdam, it's legal to.
But technically, still in the United States, it's up there with like heroin and cocaine.
Yes.
And
For dumb reasons, I guess.
Legal.
Yeah, for legal.
Well, you all have heard the
to make people
the
money
story, right? Yeah, it was the newspaper industry pushed against it because they also owned all the paper mills. Mm. So if hemp became the new type of paper, they were afraid that would put them out of business. William Randolph Hearst, I think, is the one who led the campaign against marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably pro-marijuana propaganda.
It probably is.
Right?
Yeah. So, anyway, I mean, now it's still federally legal, even to this day, but obviously we're making changes slowly.
So medical use? Why? How?
Well, it has a lot of effects for people that deal with depression and anxiety, so it can lower those. It can increase appetite in patients that need it, for example, chemotherapy cancer patients have a hard time eating, so this can help them stimulate their appetite.
The CBDs do a lot of pain suppression.
Yeah, it's like a pain relief thing. It's has a lot of value as a drug.
It's really interesting how recently the CBDs have been recognized as an important part of marijuana chemistry. Now you see them being extracted and packaged by themselves for people who don't want any psychoactive effect at all.
Yeah, CBD by itself doesn't have any psychoactive effect, so it's just like a pain.
But does it help people with like multiple sclerosis or these tremor?
It's available as like an ointment, so you can put it like to soothe muscles and things like that. You can also take it, and it's like a painkiller. So yeah,
and it does also help to treat with seizures and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was gonna say they have research out. Well, they're working on it. It's not supported by the U.S. that CBD is apparently helps people with epilepsy.
And seizures are just overexcitation of certain neuroreceptors in our brain, right?
Right, so if this is a neurotransmitter mimicking kind of chemical, then. Mm-hmm.
I think it has something to do with it sitting on the receptor longer and being less active than the actual neurotransmitter, but I'm not positive.
Oh, really?
I think that's what it is.
Okay. Or it can also compete, maybe, for the space on the nerve.
Oh, yeah, but it hits it. It's not going to zap it off as much.
Totes my goats.
I'd tote your goats any day.
So for some of the long-term effects of it, I think Generally, they're actually nothing really negative about long-term use of marijuana. Unless you start as an adolescent, then they've noticed that kids who start smoking weed when they're young, when they're teenagers, and continue it into adulthood, if they regularly have been smoking, they have lower brain function, basically.
Interesting. But it also still carries all of the same negative health side effects as smoking.
Yeah.
If you smoke.
Although there's been like some trials, I think, where alcoholic mothers, they sometimes recommend smoking weed instead of drinking because it doesn't have the same type of birth. It's not associated with the same type of birth defects as alcohol.
Yeah.
Although it's like, you know, I don't know if you should encourage a pregnant mother to smoke. Or maybe, I don't know.
Your baby will come out with dreadlocks, though. Yeah.
I read this, like, thing that said they did a study looking at the harmful effects between a group of cigarette smokers and people that smoke marijuana, and the only major difference they saw, or, like, was it the cigarette? Sorry, I read, like, five different ones. Basically, it was just, like, long-term usage of marijuana resulted in gum disease.
Gum disease.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm trying to find where it came from so that I can, you know, sound.
For adults, I mean, people say that it's not addictive, but it definitely is addictive. But people don't have the same type of withdrawal symptoms if they're trying to quit it as they would with, like, other...
I have a question. Maybe you guys know this.
Why would...
You guys are weed heads. Jamaica, what is the cultural significance of weed in Jamaica?
Well, it's involved in, like, I don't really know a lot about that, but it's just, like, involved in their religion, I think.
Is it? It doesn't have anything to do with, like, the global trade?
There's a population of people who follow the Rastafari religion, and marijuana is part of their rituals and things like that. So when that's, like, the major religion in a country, it becomes super acceptable. Okay. But what's also acceptable there is killing homosexuals with machetes. So I do not support Jamaica.
So this is a little like peyote with like the northeastern
sure.
Native Americans.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's part of their like cultural and religious like tradition. So
I see.
Yeah.
And something the article I read for this topic today, I thought I would talk about addiction. So since you just brought up addiction, I figured I'd mention that. It's just really brief. The article wasn't very good, so I wouldn't even cite it. Psychology Today. Who needs it, right? this is the difference between behavioral addiction and actual physical addiction, right? So a physical addiction can arise because your body no longer needs to produce the compound that the drug is mimicking.
Right.
Or you become less sensitive to that compound or the natural neurotransmitter. So now you don't get the same rush from the things that used to make you happy, right? That's what people say about addiction.
Yeah.
Now, it's also behavioral addiction where you get used to a routine of doing something. Like you smoke weed or, I don't know, you eat a candy bar before bed, something like that. It can become a habit, a behavioral addiction.
Yeah.
You're also cued for indulging in that behavior because your brain learns which things happen around the boost you get from that drug. Or mm-hmm. that candy or whatever.
Yeah, it's like food.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the common example is you walk into a bar, you're in that environment, so you're going to drink a lot more.
Uh-huh.
And that's a behavioral addiction. So people say marijuana is not addictive, but it's as addictive as anything that you do as a habitual thing that gives you pleasure. You get addicted to exercise, sex, anything. That's all I had.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that contribution.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
So, consuming marijuana.
It makes you cool, for one thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody does it.
So, I guess in Colorado, what's been happening, I guess, through the hospitals is saying that children are accidentally ingesting more.
I've heard about this, yeah.
And I actually have a friend who is babysitting in Colorado and let the kids have some gummy bears. And she had a couple, too.
She let them have...
She thought they were just regular gummy bears because she didn't read.
I thought you were friends with horrible people.
No. So they were in the pantry, right? And she just... the kids are like, oh, my gosh. Like, we can't wait for dinner. Can we have some gummy bears? And she's like, you can each have one gummy bear. And then she grabs a handful.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she grabs a handful of these stuff. And
a handful?
She didn't realize what they were. And then all of them start, like, tripping out. And she's like... what is going on right now. Yeah, turns out that she is exactly part of this uptick in accidental, like,
wow,
yeah, THC.
Well, the upside of, I mean, I don't know if there's an upside, but good news
children
is that
doing drugs.
Nobody has ever died from an overdose of marijuana, and they have been able to kill mice in lab
but
studies.
It's like a lot.
But it's, yeah, like the amount that you would need to eat to overdose on marijuana is like more than anybody could ever consume at one point. It's like more than your body weight, basically, you would need to eat.
And maybe that early exposure for the children would mean they might never do it.
Yeah,
that would probably be terrifying.
Yeah, that would freak them out, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think everybody has different responses to marijuana. Not everybody, you know, enjoys it the same way. And it can produce, like, definitely paranoia and anxiety in certain people. So, yeah, I think you just have to learn how it affects your body. I mean, you don't have to.
Well, and I guess maybe this gets at the potency or strength of marijuana now.
Yeah, and it's good, like, with this new law in California, at least it'll be somewhat standardized, or you can tell from a label, like, roughly how strong it will be. Yeah.
But I'm just thinking about, like, marijuana here,
uh-huh.
like, modern California marijuana.
Oh, you mean over time.
Yeah, versus maybe 30 years ago, or even from other
Anywhere
areas.
Else? Yeah, apparently in California we have, like,
the dankest.
Yeah,
as it were.
Best weed. And then if you go, like, anywhere else, hypothetically, if we smoked the weed anywhere else, we would be like, what is this?
I mean, I think marijuana breeders are pretty talented. They're able to get, you know, increasingly higher levels of THC out of the plants. It's crazy. Like, some of them could be even, like, 30-40% dry weight of THC.
But we talked about, total THC. Like, does that matter?
Well, I mean, they could drive up the, you know, the psychoactive compounds. You won't really be able to tell how it makes you feel, but, like, you know, the compounds are there, and
there,
it's more concentrated.
No debate that the concentration definitely matters.
Okay.
Yeah. The ratio of CBD to THC that we were talking about earlier,
yeah.
It deals more with the type of effect you receive from it. Mm-hmm. So if you just ramp up THC enough, you're just going to be paranoid and antsy and maybe talkative.
Okay.
So we broke down cannabis into indica, sativa, and ruderalis, right?
Yes.
Did we discuss a little bit of what the different effects were? Do we want to talk about that?
Well, I guess sure. I mean, cannabis sativa is known for being more, like, uplifting and energizing.
And this has to do with the ratio of the two major types
yeah.
of THC,
yeah.
which are A and B, and we couldn't really figure out which one did what.
Well, maybe we should talk about, I think this is a good foray into cannabis research and it being limited. So
yeah.
It is, there's actually not, as far as plant research, like, we know almost nothing about cannabis.
In the United States.
Compared to other plants that, you know, people study. It's like everything is known about them, yeah. So it's really hard to do cannabis research here because it is a Schedule 1 drug. So I think there's only one lab in Mississippi that is like the federal lab. I forgot what it's called. It's like...
So they get federal money or is it privately funded?
No, it's a federal lab, so they're the only lab as far as I know of that's able to do research on, like, the actual marijuana flowers.
Because I know that
other like studies that people do basically are self-reported, so it's hard to trust that data because in a country where it still is federally legal, people tend to lie about how much they consume, so they
sure.
can't really get accurate
that, like, biotech, so private money is starting to now go into it just because it's going to be so long before federal money can get there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much money in marijuana. Wow, we can actually hear you.
So
right now.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the cannabis genome. So there's a couple of drafts out there, but what I understand is that they are bad quality, obviously, because it's still illegal. There is a company in Oregon that is basically working on the best version of the genome currently. And what he has, I forgot the guy's name, but he has a PhD in, like, virology or something. And I forgot what the company is called too, but I don't know. I'm not supporting it.
Adding a thousand.
Do you remember your name?
I think it's called. Okay, I think the company is called.
How much did you smoke during
Philo?
The break?
Anyway, he has been assembling the best version of the cannabis genome, and he has, as at the time of the article, which I think was 2 years ago, he had collected between 1,500 and 2,000 different DNA samples. And the reason that he's able to do this is because he is working with cannabis DNA specifically and not the actual plant itself. He goes to lots of trade shows, and I think he talks to growers and things, and he goes out and collects land races of cannabis. So he has like the biggest collection of different cannabis DNA. Anyway, so I think he's whatever that company's called. I'm pretty sure.
So it's to patent it, if it's through a company, or is he just like gonna give this data to the world?
I should do
so
my postdoc there.
Apparently, when he's finished with it, he's going to hand it over to a nonprofit. So that people can do cannabis research, I guess. So he's not really. I don't even know if he's like actually a big supporter of it himself. He just like saw this as an opportunity to use his degree in his PhD.
Because we use tobacco for research purposes, but it's really hard to get access to that genome because it's owned by Philip Morris, well, a subsidiary of Philip Morris. So it's hidden behind a bunch of paywalls. So, yeah, kind of just.
So once the cannabis genome is, like, you know, available for researchers, I think that's going to unlock a lot of different possibility. I can't even imagine, like, breeders now are able to increase, you know, the potency of strain so much, but like once the genome is available for like,
oh my gosh,
for scientific breeding, like molecular assisted breeding,
or just pulling out specific genes for like medical use, maybe even too, right?
Yeah
it's gonna, like, get crazy
to like put maybe like a
super weed,
a gene into bacteria, and just have like whatever have bacteria synthesize whatever compounds, and then we could just directly pull them out.
Weed pills.
Yeah, I know, but like just because it's
marijuana
taking,
tablets.
Yeah,
what are marijuana tablets?
Taking it from the plant.
that's not absurd at all. Actually,
yeah,
I mean,
because taking it from the plant is like it's really costly, and it doesn't yield as much. But if you put it into a simpler system like bacteria or yeast, it could, you know, it would produce so much more and be a lot cheaper, large scale. So.
Okay, this man, I looked him up. He's in Oregon. His last name is.
Of course he is.
His last name is Holmes, and he has 10 full-time employees that are housed by the Oregon Health and Science University, which does rely on federal funding. And like I said, he only works with the DNA, so he's found a loophole, which allows him to do this type of research.
That's cool.
So yeah, I mean, other labs cannot really.
Well, it seems like you can get funding to look into addiction, like how how marijuana affects people.
Well, I think there's a really interesting thing that's always sort of glossed over in this conversation, and that's that the tobacco genome is owned by Philip Morris, like you said, or a subsidiary therefore of. And there was an incentive to find that genome out because that's a product that can be internationally traded. There's a lot of money behind it. But having different regulations by country for whether marijuana is legal or it's federally legal, but statewide it's not legal, it makes it really difficult for a company to be incentivized to research that and try to find that genome out. So there's also not a push for legislation to allow the genome to be sequenced. Did you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I always have to tie it back to where the money's coming from, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Follow the money.
Follow the money.
I think all these tobacco companies as well are, like, very ready to switch over to cannabis production as soon as it's federally legal. So I think that we're going to see, like, these big scale.
They've already patented a lot of strain names, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Did we see Marlboro cigarettes or Marlboro marijuana cigarettes? Marlboro spliffs, yeah. Camel spliffs.
You just, like, buy them at the gas station? Isn't that going to be crazy?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that makes these sort of self-reported marijuana studies hard is that people that smoke weed often also smoke tobacco. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to detangle those two effects So it's hard to really know, like, have a clear picture.
Why did they smoke them together?
I guess if you're going to smoke, like, you know, you're going to smoke. One's not that different than
the other. No, but I know that you can also, like, mix tobacco with weed.
Yes, you can.
But it's getting back to the behavioral addiction. Mm-hmm. You're still smoking something, so you still get that boost that you need. You're not getting the psychoactive effects and all that fun stuff. But
okay, but can you tell me why people...
It's like, why do people smoke those vape pens that have no, like... tobacco in them.
Because they think they're being healthier.
What's the question you're actually
without
asking?
Nicotine?
Yeah, without nicotine.
Because it's like an oral fixation.
Yeah,
it's a behavioral addiction.
Yeah.
What was your question, though? Why do people mix them?
Why tobacco and marijuana in the same cigarette?
It's flavor.
I guess flavor, or like, do you get like some kind of weird psychedelic?
Well,
no, it's not really.
So that you can like get high and then also have it last for a while, because if you're smoking an entire joint, like,
that's
a
lot
of
weed.
Weed,
yeah.
But if you kind of dilute it out with some tobacco, then it's like you can have a nice,
it might be too strong too, yeah,
like, yeah, it lasts for a while and then you're high afterward.
Gotcha. Because I'm just thinking, like, nicotine and THC together, where if you were just to do a marijuana cigarette, it would just be THC.
Well, so you have, like, you only take like two hits of that, like, and then it's done. I mean, depending.
So you've heard
from a friend.
Yes, and now also with this new law, everybody can grow their own weed. And
how
if you don't
grow, are you allowed to have?
So everybody, I think it's 6 plants per household.
6 mature plants, right?
6 mature plants per household. And that's
mature,
per household.
So you can have like a dozen seedlings?
Exactly. Because you don't know what's going to last, you know. It's like trying to grow anything. You might plant 15 and only 5 of them live.
But so I guess the biggest takeaway here is that we're basically decriminalizing marijuana use so that you'll only receive a fine now. You won't go to jail for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So this might actually really impact like the population of inmates in California, which is like at a level that we've been mandated by even international authorities.
And that's why the federal agencies want to keep it criminalized so that they can keep that prison labor.
Follow the money.
Yes. So obviously it's terrible. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people are in prison for nonviolent marijuana crimes. And I'm wondering, like, what's going to happen to all of the population of inmates that are in prison for
they get grandfathered
in
for
non nonviolent.
No, but really though, that's a huge question.
Yeah, right. What's going to happen if it ever does become federally legal?
And also, how sad that they spent their lives in prison for basically no reason
for something that once was illegal but now is legal.
No, for something completely political, really.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people went to jail during Prohibition, you know, for possession of alcohol.
True, but does that make it right?
No, it doesn't, but it's just the way society functions sometimes. It's a sad thing.
Yeah, well, and the prison population is so overcrowded in California that we've even sent people to other states, so we'll be able to release people on these charges here in California, but maybe we won't be able to get them
if
back.
Oh my God. I just want to say, for-profit, privately funded prisons are the greatest threat to American society.
I agree.
The United States has the highest percentage of the population behind bars.
And there's an incentive to keep them there.
Also, well, I was watching this show about last night. It was World's Toughest Prisons, and they were the guy was in Poland, and he was interviewing inmates about, like, their life and everything, and they were describing what it was like, and I was just like, U.S. prisons are way worse than this. Like a bathroom with a door that
we only
closed.
Get one pillow.
Yeah. And I was just like, why isn't this guy going, or why isn't this guy at a U.S. prison, like, showing how rough and terrible it is?
Follow the money. I think, what do you think? So, we are all plant biologists. Do you think that this is going to have a big impact on our job market going forward? I hope it does.
Oh,
maybe
rich.
I mean, we've all gotten sick of that question, right? As soon as you tell people that you're in plant biology,
as soon as
like, yeah.
What do you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Oh, no, I mean
I'm just like,
you
yeah, I want to
smoke. Like a hybrid
they
strand.
Always
oh
say
God.
It. Yeah.
You'd be so good.
Yeah, I'm just like, dude, I can barely grow my
plant. Everybody out there, please stop asking plant biologists about weed, okay?
Yeah.
We're not weed biologists.
Yes.
And we
or
can't
garden biologists. I
yeah.
don't know how to make your pansies.
We can't legally do research on weed yet, so that's why we actually don't really know anything about it.
Well, I think as soon as this, as soon as it becomes more accepted and we can actually start doing research, it's going to be just like with e-cigarettes. It's going to be in the news. It's going to be a huge rush of researchers trying to move into that field. They're probably readying for it right now. As soon as the grant money becomes available, they're going to be hitting it hard because that's what gets funded.
I mean, I think the thing that legislators in California are really excited about, though, is all of the extra tax money, right? I mean, they just released, like, the numbers from Colorado, and they're huge.
I know. I think they gave, like, something like $90 million to schools in the last year, which
yeah.
is great.
Yeah, that's huge.
Drug money.
It's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to be so rich.
And a fun fact about marijuana is that it's the most hybridized plant on Earth.
Huh.
Isn't that cool?
Because
what,
of the cross.
What is the definition? Too. Yeah, how do you define that?
I don't know how they estimated that, but this
girl, you're just throwing
it's
out facts from the
okay,
internet
it's
right
it's
now?
It's got to be that indica and sativa are considered separate species, right? So every time you hybridize those two. And there are two different traits of indica and sativa, right? The large size versus the small size. That's really important for breeders to maximize the amount of flower you can get from one square footage.
Oh, yeah, we should. Yeah, so sativa is actually a lot bigger, and the indica varieties are a lot shorter.
You already said that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. And ruderalis is very small.
And if you want to.
Okay. Okay. It's like a little weed.
If you want a tip for remembering for all you people out there, indica's grown indoors because it's smaller. And it makes you sleepy.
Makes
so
you feel like you're into couch.
Hey-o! Awesome.
That was a fun show.
Yeah. And ruderalis is being investigated now for some potential breeding applications.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of genetics that are there, so it could unlock something cool. Maybe they could use it as a rootstock. I don't know.
Oh, for,
like
grass,
a, for a dwarf
idea.
Variety. Yeah.
I'm just really excited about cheaper paper.
Yeah, I'm excited to wear more itchy clothes.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I want my sheets to be stiff like cardboard.
So scratchy.
And also my friend Katie says that the weed in Amsterdam is great.
Awesome.
Thank you for citing your sources.
Your
she just told me. So. Or she did a little
You
bit
heard it here
ago.
On Nature Boy. Okay, this has been another episode of Nature Boy on KCHN Radio, 16:30 a.m. broadcasting live from Chinatown. Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in.
I'd like to just say our podcast was down a couple weeks for the last 2 weeks because there was an issue with our podcast host. I've sorted that out. The podcast will be back up, so go ahead and download
you?
Us.
There's an issue with you?
No, with the with
the hosting service.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks for listening to Nature Boy.
Bye.
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 Bye.